Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, yes. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm beaming.
Baked out.
Yeah,
oh, you beaming.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
What's happened?
Just seeing you.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing your long face and your cap.
Cheers.
Yeah. It's nice. It's
been a long day for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a man of a squashed face. You're a man of a long face. We work together.
Yeah. What are the benefits of a squashed?
You can get into more helmets.
Yeah, it's true, man.
You know?
What new era size are you?
I think I was a 7 1/8.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm 3/8.
Wait, I might have got it the wrong way around. I was tiny, basically.
Yeah.
And that's new eras, so.
Yeah. Oh, you can wear the women's range.
Okay. Do you remember?
You can buy the children's ones.
Do you remember when we went to Japan and I tried to get them like custom Avisus and she took us to the room upstairs and none of their tiny sizes fitted my massive waist. And then she was like, ah, we'll have more for you. Like lady. And I was like, oh, great.
Fucking hell, yeah. That was amazing, man. Just four of us in there in boxer shorts wandering around.
Yeah, me and my pants just going, what about these ones?
Yeah. Do you have any of them that would fit?
Exactly. Okay, let's do this. So someone that actually found this size pretty much straight away, because he was with us. Do you like that? You like that link?
Yeah. I do, I like that.
Is today's guest, because today's guest is someone very special. Yeah? Mm. Someone straight out of the... out of our comedic brotherhood, if you will. And I, for one, will.
So, I will.
Yeah, yeah.
Two.
And some would say we bleed the same creative blood together.
Mm, yeah? Gush it.
Yeah. Someone who started out this journey with us and has been there for every step of the way to share every moment with us. Someone who's annoyingly achieved way more than us, apart from podcasts, because he tried to and gave it up.
Yeah, it's because he could afford to.
Exactly. The multi-talented, the award-winning wonder child. It's Hounslow's finest. It's... Asim Chowdhury.
Asim, you bastard, how are you?
Chowders. Checkers and Chowders. I was a bit hot there on the mic. I just turned myself down.
You're a professional with that, innit?
We forgive you, man.
Yeah.
I know, man. I just looked at the level. Hugo, you'd be disgusted to see that peak disgustingly there.
Mine hits red quite a lot.
Don't worry. This isn't Twitch. The shit munchers get what they're given and they love it.
Love it. You know what I like, though? We're all quite close to the mics and we've all got the exact same mics.
You know what? I copied your pop shield because I had the rap star one and I was
you
like...
No, you need this one for... You know when you get up close? You can talk like that. You need that
because I really like... That.
You know, you've got it in your box. You've got the extra...
Oh, yeah.
You've got... And that one's
good
for... Which
I'll probably
throw away. Yeah. Exactly. This one's good for like broadcasting because you don't have the P's.
Oh, shit.
And then you can really nosh the mic off. Like,
I'm going to go into my spare cupboard and grab that. Not now.
Oh, yeah.
For next
Not
time.
Now.
Yeah.
For next time. Yeah.
What are you saying, bro? We've got to pretend that we don't chat to each other all day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Chatting all day to you. Sick of you. I'm good, bro. I've just been doing boring adult shit. I've got a leak in the got a new washing machine, then I've got a leak in the bathtub, I need a plumber. You know, just, but you know what's really weird, that I actually quite look forward to like getting a new washing machine. Like I got one today and I was gassed.
Yeah.
And actually, the guys were like, I ordered the wrong one last week because it was such long shit. You know, just adult shit you learn. Yeah. I needed a freestanding one and I got a fucking the wrong type. And then I got this one and they went, sorry, mate, you can't do it. They went, your pipes are not sturdy enough. And I went, what? And then they went, hold. And then, bruv, it actually happened. They went, hold on a minute. They went, you're not Corrupt FM. And I went, yeah. And bruv, they hooked
Chapati
up,
G.
Man. Yeah, they were like Chapati G. And then they were like, your pipes, they were like, they're very flimsy. They go, they probably will burst. They were like, but we'll sort it out for you. And then they called up the company and they were like, yeah. And the first guy said no. And he went, hang up. They went, get another agent. They called someone else. Basically, they went out of their way. And now I do need to sort the pipes out because they're not safe.
It's just loads of blue tack around it.
Yeah, they shouldn't have installed it, to be honest. But they hooked it up and I was just gassed, man. And now I did a few washes, a washer
Your
dryer.
Your laundry is so wet.
Yeah, it's really fucked now.
So heavy.
So damp. But hey, got it done. But yeah, just boring.
Sam's like,
shit.
What are you doing? You're lying on the floor just staring at it going around going, this is great. This is what we
work hard for.
Then Sam's like, I washed the tracksuit and it's been drying for 3 days and it's still damp.
Yeah, so I've just been doing that shit, man. Boring. Boring, but fun to me when you get older. Those things they're actually quite fun.
This part of the show is a section where, you know, you people like to do it. I like to do it mainly at a dinner party or at the park. It's have a chat. Thank you.
How have you found, like, obviously I know this, but like, it's mad that like a year later, we're still basically in lockdown. So how have you found this last year, man?
It's been a weird year, isn't it? It's like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how to, it's really hard to explain it because I feel like this 1 year has been like 10 years.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's felt like 10 years, like in the best way and in the worst way. Like, we've all gone through shit, personal and whatever, you know, and of course with our careers, like, you know, our movie fucking, right? We filmed that shit right before shit popped off.
Yeah.
Bruv, you know what? I heard a mad story, which was actually, it's quite a joke. I won't say any names but whatever. Basically, you know, when we were in Japan, like we were like, what, November, December, something like that? I can't remember.
November, that time.
Yeah. But we were basically in Japan when COVID probably had already started, yeah, but no one knew what it was, innit?
Yeah. All
right. If you think about it, it would have popped off by then, you know what I mean? I think
in like January, China was locking down, wasn't it?
Yeah, but bro, you got to remember, like, without being a conspiracy theorist, China definitely knew about that shit months before they alerted them because they were panicking, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I know this guy, well, I don't know, he's a driver for, like, you know, a unit driver.
Addison Lee.
But, you know, for film, right?
Yeah, TV.
So he was driving me and we were talking about COVID and I was like, yeah, I had COVID over Christmas. It was horrible, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, mate, he goes, I had COVID December 2019. He was like, and I was driving around Kevin Hart. He was like, me and Kevin Hart, we're like besties. He's like, I drive him everywhere. And then he was like, then I started getting really ill. And so I didn't know what was happening. He goes, but you know me, he goes, fuck a flu, I need to work. So he goes, I basically was, I was driving around. He goes, and then the last day I couldn't handle it. He goes, I'm going to go to bed. I can't tell Kevin I can't come. I was in the hotel. Kevin went, nah. He went, I want to see the driver before he goes. And Kevin came up to me and he went, bring it in. He goes, and I hugged Kevin Hart and I gave Kevin Hart Corona. And I was like, but I didn't know. He was like, I was a super spreader. He was like, everyone around me for 2 weeks got ill. Everyone. And I was like, basically he got Corona in December.
Yeah.
Didn't know it was Corona. Then in March or something, he had the antibodies and, you know, the test. And he fucking gave Kevin Hart Corona. And it's because Kevin Hart asked for a hug. right there. He went, bring it in, dude. And it was just like, but
you cannot turn Kevin down.
You can't turn from that little man, that little adorable thing.
Yeah, and do you know what? That's probably what kicked off Corona in America then, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he jumped on the PJ, straight back to America. Exactly. The old Los Angeles had it in a week.
Fact, mate.
That's a fucking super spreader.
I was so potent at the time.
Yeah. And what does that say about you? Fucking super spreader, boy.
Almost showing off about it. I was potent.
Oh, mate, I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't feel good about it, you know what I mean? But yeah.
You just got to think about it, because I've had about 9 kids. Do you know what I mean? I'm in every way, I'm potent. So when I get something, boom.
Yeah. I have to shower 3 times a day. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, my hair's gone. I mean, I'm bald, but that don't matter. It makes up for other things.
I'll get a 5 o'clock shadow down there. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? But yeah, so it was just, I mean, I don't even know why I brought that story up, but it's just mad to think like this 1 year it has felt like fucking 10 years, man. It's been mad. And but also on the flip side, like it has been, we have still been able to work and do things. Obviously, I'm grateful for that. And
yeah, we're lucky. And you are always quite a resourceful person. You always find things for yourself to do, innit?
You know what it is with me? Like I kind of felt like you lot know me from back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I know we joke about it, but I actually am a tech head. Like I love, you know, yeah. I love just tech stuff. Like
bruv,
I always,
we it's dickhead. We usually say,
"Oh, you say dickhead? Yeah, oh, right, yeah. right." Well, that as well.
Yeah,
but I kind of use this. No, I didn't use this yet, but I kind of retrained a lot of stuff and just retaught myself. Like, you know, just little basic things like editing and camera stuff and just, you know, just basic stuff that I used to be into. And then, you know, as we kind of did stuff, other people would do all that stuff for you, so you kind of forget. And in a way, you know, I just learned that stuff again, and it was fun. And I mean, for me, I mean, I need it to feel a bit sane sometimes, because I'm one of those guys, like, even though like I am, you know, extroverted and I like being life and soul or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I do like to stay in, and I'm not the most social. I do like my own company. Yeah. I do like this.
I like to lost in my own little project that I make.
Yeah, like Hugo, you're similar. And Sipa as well. I feel like you really enjoy your, because people look at us and they think, oh, fucking hell, they're loud, fucking screaming, laughing, like clicky. And we are that. Also, we love nothing more than fucking chilling in and doing shit. You know what I mean? So that was good for me.
Yeah,
that
I think it's,
kept me sane.
For me anyway, so it's a bit of a safety blanket, because I know you guys are always there. So if I do have an awkward moment or situation, I can just sort of come back to sort of screaming and laughing with you lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I've been asking you for loads of tips. I mean, it's inspirational, to be honest, because like you said, I got to a point where you'd have to create content and then you couldn't leave your house. There wasn't other people that could, you know, help you with that process, and you started doing it all yourself. So I've been asking you for tips along the way and stuff, you know, even with, for this, like, you know, the equipment.
But
that's
what it's about though. But that's, you know, each one, teach one, baby.
Whoa, son, you know, you gotta drop that jam.
Drop that. Don't be a, don't
be a, codes, baby.
Don't be a selfish thief. Be a clumsy thief. Drop the gems.
Drop them.
Drop it. But
share
the
coat, baby. Share the coat.
Yeah, I mean, share the coat. That's a big coat. We can both fit in that, baby. Come in. We snuggle up with your baby boy.
That's a four-man boat. Yo, you better jump in.
Woke up, man. Yo, kiss me on my forehead real quick, baby.
Boo, boo.
Boo, boo. To a Brer. Ghost. I love Ghost and Ray, homoerotic shit.
So, like, as proactive as you've been, well, not always, because actually we started doing podcasts about the same time. And did you continue with that?
Just trying. Well, here we go. Look at the, this is really how I've been defeated.
The tables have turned.
The tables have turned. Well, you know what they say, you can't beat them, join them. Am I right?
Exactly, jump on.
You know,
come on.
You know what? It was one of those things where I don't know about you guys. I mean, I don't know if you guys have this, but I have a lot of creative mania, which I like to do. I basically go a bit mad.
Yeah.
And I'll start a podcast, or I'll start a vlog, or I'll start streaming on Twitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or I'll start some new project, get lost in it, and then quit.
Yeah.
That's just my thing. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a commitment thing. I don't know if I'm like, I don't know if it's a coping mechanism, but I do that. And I've done that for my whole life. I've started things.
Put
everything into it, burnt out. or just been like, this is fucking shit, and just quit. And I do that with everything. And really, and that's why, I mean, I know the Twitch gaming thing is my new, you know, fad.
Yeah, but you've been at it for a while, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm going to try and stick to it, because it's the least effort. Because it's just me doing what I normally do. Vlogging is me. Like, I was going to do a vlog for the studio, and I thought, fuck, I was stressing, like, oh, I need to go out. And I hate going out with a camera as well. Really cringe,
worst.
Bro.
Yeah.
Going out and being, like, talking to a camera, I just can't, even though I am a cringe bastard. That was just a bit.
That's hard. That's hard.
Yeah, that was a bit too much for me, man. I couldn't handle that. So.
Yeah, I feel weird if someone FaceTimes me and I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. In public stuff is just.
Do people,
you know,
think I'm an influencer?
Yeah.
Even talking with headphones on, I feel weird still.
But
it is that, isn't it? It's the influencer/vlogger. Like,
yeah. It's even with Taste Cadets, you know, like we always speak about, like, why haven't you you know, like, why don't you do proper videos? It's because I was always scared of being in a restaurant, having like a camera on a pole and going, hey guys.
Once you, I think, and this is a good lesson for anyone, which I still haven't fully learned, is when you realize that no one gives a shit more than
yeah,
you.
Exactly. Yeah,
you'll be
yeah,
fine. Yeah. No one really cares.
Bro? Do you know why we're so self-conscious? Because we sit there and watch all these other people go, ah, yeah. No one else gives a fuck.
Yeah, well, we really do about
yeah,
you.
We do.
We're sitting exactly. there going, you look like a fucking idiot that day.
Yeah.
That guy's thinking, no one cares. It's all love and we're going, no, you should care.
Yeah, you should.
We were all chatting for hours laughing at you.
You're walking through a plane on a phone talking to yourself.
Yeah. How dare you not be insecure about that?
Yeah, exactly. I will tell whoever I'm with to look at that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But like I said, that just sums up my style. It's just I jump into things, very impulsive,
yeah.
Go full in and then realize what am I doing and stop. But, you know, it's just who I am. I don't think I'm going to change. You know what I mean? That's just always.
No, and sometimes some amazing stuff comes out of it. You wouldn't be where you are if it
yeah,
didn't happen. You know what I mean?
I feel like we're all this, but I've always been like a proper risk taker. Like I'll take a risk.
Yeah.
Like even if I think it, like, you know what it's like when you're in the room.
It's your body in you, isn't it?
It's just actually it is. It's that kind of like always give it a go, even if you look like a dickhead, even if you fail, give it a go because what's the worst that could happen? You know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. No, it's a good way of living, 100%, man.
Yeah.
This is a very useful part of the show for when you need things to do. It's the recommendation part.
And apart from your little fads, keep up the doodling.
Yeah, it is that, the doodling, yeah. Oh, that's cute. You want to do a podcast? Welcome to series two of our fucking brilliant podcast that we've been doing. Your one was good. What was it? Three eps?
The thing is, we've achieved more eps, but I don't think anyone really listens to it. It's still a shit show, which is perfect. There's no responsibility.
Yeah, when we start filming it, we're gonna call it the shit show.
The shit show. Yeah, yeah.
What a shit show.
Yeah, and I'm shit eater number one, and that's shit eater number
two.
Exactly.
Are you calling your fans the shit munchers?
Yeah,
well,
is that
what you said? They are the shit munchers.
Yeah, they quite literally are. Yeah.
That's sick.
No, there's a message behind that. Podcast. Do you know? I remember being wrecked, and like people coming up to me or whatever, you know, at one of our raves or whatever, I love People See Nothing, blah, blah, blah. And me being wrecked and really serious, like, look at me, man. Just remember, you're a piece of shit. And they're like, what? I'm like, just like I am. We're all pieces of shit, all right? Never forget that. And they're like, oh, that's a really good way of putting
fucking
it, man.
Hell, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Hell,
we're all shit munchers.
And then going, you know what, as well, mate? The sun don't shine forever. Oh, no, it does shine forever. Sorry.
apart from keeping yourself busy with your creatively, what can you recommend for the people? Either watching or reading or listening to?
You know what? I mean, this is a bit of a bait one, but you know what? This one's a very bait kind of uni kind of, I just read about philosophy kind of thing, you know, like, man, you need to check. Haven't you seen this? Oh my God, you haven't seen that?
Yeah,
it's basically that Adam Curtis documentary that I was name dropping the other day in WhatsApp.
Basically, Steve mentioned that as well.
Yeah, it is. It's one of them ones, though, where you kind of feel almost embarrassed because you know loads of neaky uni brays are like, oh, my God, haven't you seen the new Adam Curtis? Like, oh, my God. Open your fucking mind, you fucking ignorant twat.
Yeah.
But it is a bit like that. But I'm not trying to be like, I know him from, you know, before his, you know, I watched him before his first album.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember being at uni back in the day and watching this documentary that he made. It was basically his first documentary. It was called What Happened to Our Freedom. And it was so sick that I made a song called What Happened to Our Freedom, and it's all about like the documentary was all about, very similar to the stuff he's doing now.
I heard that song?
Yeah, maybe it was what you know, it was an old song. I did it over some Killer Priest beat.
Yeah, I remember.
Very slow, soulful. But the whole documentary was about like the illusion of being free in the Western world, like, you know how we think we have freedom and democracy.
Yeah.
But he broke it down in a way that blew my mind about like how, you know, we're all just numbers, statistics. Like, it's not really, if anything, people in the East are freer because they're kind of more liberated and they're more aware of their kind of political world and all kinds of shit. But anyway, so I was watching him since back then. He did another one, Bitter Lake, which
what's that one called again?
That one's called What Happened to Our Freedom. So if you're getting into, like, he's just dropped a new one, obviously. I think, what is it, five? Is it five episodes?
It's a six-parter even, maybe.
Six-parter, yeah.
Can't Get You Out of My Head. Is that what
Can't Get You Out of My Head, yeah. And I've watched two apps and they're amazing, but you really need to concentrate, because I remember I was like 5 minutes, I went on my phone, I looked up and I was completely lost.
Yeah.
Because of the way that he edits it, it seems like, when you're watching it, it seems like complete waffle first, and it seems like there's no narrative structure, but really he's put it together in a fucking insane way.
It's incredible.
And yeah, it's sick. Definitely watch that, but go back and watch some of his older stuff to kind of ease yourself into it, because it is a bit of a head fuck, that stuff, you know what I mean? It's quite heavy, but yeah, Adam Curtis, all his documentaries are a good one to watch.
And what other stuff, a bit lighter?
Lighter stuff...
I don't know why I said liar. Oh,
you know what? No, you know what, bruv? You lot need to watch this. Have you lot seen Temptation Island?
No.
Oh my God. It's basically
I know what it is, though.
All right, but basically, yeah, bruv. It's like Love Island, but it's even more toxic.
Love Island meets Fire Festival.
Bruv, worse though. Like, it's basically, so the couples go in, right? Yeah. They've been together. Some been together 8 years, 5 years, 4 years. And they're like, we want to be tested. So then they get put into this house. And they get put into this house, in different houses, separate houses. And then that's what happens. They get tested. And you literally see like 8 year relationships break, people fucking each other. And then like literally, like, and then they have to watch it. It's extreme. Me and Seb just binged the whole first series, and it's fucking toxic as fuck.
What's that on?
And it was on Sky, so I don't know.
Okay,
I think it's
TV or something.
Yeah, something like that. But it was so toxic, and we both hated ourselves. Because, you know, we're part of the problem for watching it.
Of course,
And I hated myself for watching it, but it is very entertaining. Disgusting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I won't be watching that, because I only watch sort of foreign French film documentaries.
Adam Curtis documentary.
Yeah. But what was the name?
Temptation Island. Yeah,
okay, yeah. For the listeners.
I'll give it a go.
Just so you know not to watch it.
So if I'm scrolling, I know not to click on it. Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Power button.
Yeah. I'm going to actually call up Sky and tell them to block that show from me. I'm not watching that.
Yeah, Phil.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
All right, well, let's take it back a little bit. I saw me. It's interesting for us, because we've worked together and, you know, been best mates for like the last 12, 13 years or whatever. And, you know, you, Hugo, even longer. But I just want to sort of see your perspective on how it all started for you. Like, even before meeting us, I think, was music your first love, or was it wanting to be a filmmaker or whatever?
Yeah, it was kind of like, they kind of went hand in hand, because I was like making songs on like hip hop EJ from like year seven, and then I remember the first song I ever made ever was this keyboard, my uncle's keyboard, and it had you could play a drum break on it. And then I had his karaoke machine with a tape player inside it.
Yeah.
And I got the karaoke mic, put it onto the keyboard speaker, played the drum break, and then just got a police siren and played the police siren. And I remember my first song was 187 homicide.
Homicide.
Yeah, homicide. That's how I said it. Homicide.
It already sounded like West Coast killer.
Straight
shit.
Up. Yeah, just straight up
murder
West Coast
music.
And I was so into the whole West Coast kind of gangster stuff. My first ever email was gangsterrider@AOL.com.
Nice.
And
with a Y.
And it sounds so wrong now, but
you know what? When I went college, like, that whole West Coast thing was a very Hounslow. Like,
it's very Hounslow. It's
very Hounslow sound. Yeah. Like Tupac, Nate Dogg.
Yeah, I remember Tupac being like an icon in Hounslow, man. For all the Asian Donnies, Tupac would be the one. And a lot of Asian people would say that Tupac was Asian.
Yeah, because his name, Shakur.
Yeah.
He's like
that goodness gracious
sketch. Indian.
Yeah.
And he had a little nose ring, you know, the Asian girls.
And the Asian braids
had nose rings as well.
Yeah.
The little stud. I remember that. Little bandanas.
Yeah,
there
the
was
bandana.
So many,
yeah.
There were so
finally.
Many prime.
Put one in.
Yeah.
So it's fine now. Tupac's doing it.
Yeah.
Back then, if someone used to MC, used to be like I was literally maybe one of three people in my whole school who used to actually like rap. You know what
I mean? Did you start by when you made that beat and you MC'd over it straight away? So you made that beat literally just to kind of be able to have something to spit over?
You know what it is? Yeah, it's not just that. I think it's, you know, the you know, that, especially when you're younger, that kind of excitement of like, I'm going to create something and then watch it back or look at it back and go, I made that. And then you're like, and then I remember I showed my mom and she was like, what, how did you do that? And I was like, that's my voice. That's my voice. You know what I mean? And then like, but then I remember as well, you've probably heard this story. I tell it all the time, but I used to have two VCRs, hooked up to each other. And the reason I used to have that is because, you know, you could record, you know, multiple shows.
Yeah.
And also you could do a thing where, like, what I used to do is I used to watch The Box, and I was obsessed with Michael Jackson when I was quite young, eight or whatever.
And he would
have
been obsessed with you.
He would have loved us. Yeah. He would have loved us.
We all have that in common.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I think you would have picked me, but carry on.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You've got more of a Macaulay Culkin vibe in it. We're a bit too foreign for him. White angel.
Yeah.
And I used to wait for, you know, when MJ would do the spin, you know, when he would spin.
Yeah.
Basically, I was like, I want to do a little edit montage of him spinning, like from all his different music videos. So I would literally waited for every music video of MJ and I'd wait. And then when that spinning bit would come, I'd press record on the VCR. On the VHS. So then I would edit it like a minute long video of him just spinning in all these different music videos. And I was like, and I show my mum and that, like I'd always show my mum because he'll be like, look, mum, you know what I mean? Like trying to impress your mum. Yeah. And then she was like, oh, that's very good. But she was kind of like, you know, stop fucking around. I remember she told me off because I was, you know, like fucking around with the VHS too much. It would overheat. Yeah. So, you know, just stuff like that, like the joy of creating something and then showing off.
I guess as well as a child, it's the first time you're in control yourself. I get to create something. Up until now, I've been the child. You know, things have been handed to me or whatever. Yeah. That's amazing. Because I had the same thing with like dressing up as a Michael Jackson.
Girl. Yeah. All right, sorry. Yeah. I was about to say, No. Yeah, we didn't do that.
I dressed up as Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley. I used to try to dance like as well. Nice. I don't know why. And that was a thing at the time, man. I think because you got to tape off your parents or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
And then, bruv, do you know what was mad though? At like the age of 8, I think I must have heard this Nirvana song and I picked up a guitar and like tried to emulate it and went and showed my mum and it's like, mum, check this out. He's like, rape me.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, MJ would have loved that.
Yeah, he would have loved that. And I tried to explain to her. It's like a metaphor, his lyrics and fucking, mean rape me.
Devil me.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a thing of like showing off as well, like to your parents. I remember putting on whole shows for my mum and my dad. Yeah. Doing all dance shows and karaoke and all this. Yeah. They thought I was a fucking nightmare. But I think that's what it was. They didn't see anything good from it. They just thought, oh, he wants attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's your first audience, isn't it?
Yeah. My mum was like, he's got diabetes.
What? Well, that's why you're running
because
around.
Of my sugar levels, like up and down. I'd always be like,
I love that. Doing a whole dance and going, Mum, what do you think? Right, I think we need to call the doctors. His sugar's
I'm outside on a BMX doing tricks.
I've been practicing all day, Mum. Right, call the doctor.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
I'm calling the head of year.
It. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, but also part of it is, well, like, I mean, were you like quite naughty in school as well? Like, did you like get in trouble?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I was like just not very good at my schoolwork.
Yeah.
What was it like for you? Were you like...
Yeah, I was naughty, but not like bad, nor not like, you know, like fucking stab someone or like jack people.
Yeah.
I was like, I used to love bunking. That was my thing.
Yeah,
I was actually, I got an award in my school for bunking. So, you know, at the end of year 11, we had these kind of, you know, because people were leaving, they were going to college. We weren't allowed in sixth form. A lot of me and my boys, they told us from like year 10. They were like, you're not getting a sixth form. So we all knew we were going West Thames, basically, the dropout loser college.
West Thames.
West Thames, where I met Hugo. Yeah. And I was like, I got an award for it. Like, Tots got Pat Butcher Earring Award because he used to wear these massive earrings. Like Sonny got Jack the Lad Award and I got the Early Bird Award because I was either always late or bunking. But basically, I got caught. So one of my mates, older brother, he said to me, because when I used to bunk, I used to go into the Heath, which was right behind my school because I went to Heathland. So it was a massive field and I'd just be blazing, right? And that's where all like the kind of dropouts were. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? The shotters, everyone. So I'd go there. I had a technique that I'd go into school in the morning. So my mum would think I was in school. I'd sign in, right? I'd come a little bit late. I'd sign in. Then I'll miss the lesson I want to miss. I'll come back for lunch and then sign in again and then fuck off again. And if the teacher doesn't report it, then I don't get done.
Yeah, that's classic. I was the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Nowadays, you can't really do that. But back in the day, you can because some mad electronic. But anyway, I remember I was like getting in a lot of trouble and like, you know, I mean, I just came back from a suspension and I was quite close to like maybe getting expelled. I don't know. But I was close. Like, you know, there was very, and I was in a lot of trouble at home. My mum was like, we're fucking, you know, giving up on you. You're fucking your life up. Mm. And then I remember my mate told me, he goes, look, he goes, bruv, he goes, if you do get caught bunking, he goes, you can use this excuse, but you can only ever use it once. And I was like, okay, cool. And he was like, just say you shat yourself. You had to go home. And then I went, all right. So but it happened, right? I got caught in the heath. I was running, but they caught me. And then she got me into the headmaster brought me in and he was like, what happened? I went, sir, I shat myself. I was going home. And I came back, I changed my clothes. I came. And then he was like, what? And he was like, you're lying, Asim. He goes, this is typical. And I was like, sir, would I lie about that? Think about, would I lie about shitting myself? And he was like, okay. He goes, so if I call mum up now, she'll, and I went, do you think I told my mum?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if your mum goes into the laundry basket now and smells the back of your trousers.
And I was just like, but I got away with it because he kind of looked at me like,
fuck, if he is telling the truth, it's quite traumatic. He's shat himself.
Exactly. And I was like, sir, you know, so I used that one and it worked, but you can only ever use it once. But yeah, I was all right. I mean, obviously I didn't do well in school. And I had too much fun, man. I had too much fun in school.
So school days, do you reckon that's where you started like sharpening your sword lyrically and shit?
Yeah, kind of, but not really. Like in school, like I said, I was only the second two, maybe one or two MCs in the school.
Yeah.
And I was so frustrated that no one else used to rap that I created a rap crew, wrote all my crew's lyrics, brought them over my yard, forced them to make songs with me because I just wanted like music.
That, yeah.
Yeah, be like, come on, no, you're off beat. You're off beat and all that. Yeah, gave them all names, everything. It was ridiculous.
Oh, they've got their face next to a keyboard with the mic.
No, I upgraded by then. I was on the EJ. But yeah, it wasn't, that was really like old school. So I think kind of. I mean, I did talent show and cheesy things like that.
Yeah.
And
but it was college more was when you stepped it up, kind of thing.
College was like so much fun because I don't know, Hugo, if you remember, but the first time I went into college, it was like, whoa, like it was like people more like me then. It wasn't just Hounslow, which was just like kind of Asian, kind of like, you know, like it was, you know, it's just more people like, but when you went there, it was like, wow, there was like, you know, rappers, there was like break dancers, there was like shit, but people from like Bush.
When was this, the 80s?
Hugo, do you remember there used to be like body poppers?
Yeah, body poppers, with new era
hats. This is like mid-noughties, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean when you meet people and you're like, oh my, they like the same shit I like. They're trying to make the same beats that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then you meet like, so instantly, obviously I met Hugo and then instantly I met Shazam. And like, and just straight away, I was like, wow, like I heard Hugo's beats and I was like, I went to his yard and then I linked Shazam. I didn't even know that he went to my school. He was 3 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, where have you guys been all my life?
Yeah.
Like, I've been here like begging my friends though, who are not talented at all musically.
Yeah.
Begging them to, you know, like do stuff. And then I met these guys and it just opened my mind. And
I didn't know that, man. It's so similar to my trajectory. And because he was from Hounslow, I assumed that like, everyone there was doing it. Because I'm from Chesington, so no one was on it. And I remember literally writing bars going, okay, this is your part now. And it, come on, what are you doing? Like, why can't you? And being so frustrated and then going to college and finally meeting people.
Yeah.
So when you started college and you had this like newfound community of creatives, how did that shape you?
Well, it kind of came with the thing, like, you know, like if you're not, you know, if you're just some like kind of Butters Brayer from Hounslow who's like dressed as like a tramp, which is basically what I looked like back then, which I still do. But you know what I mean? Like it's a thing of like, it's the first time you're seeing different type of girls because I was only really used to the Asian girls and Asians, which you're very comfortable with. You know what I mean? You know your comfort zone, you know how to make them laugh. But these were like, you know, girls from Bush and like, you know what I mean? Like, and girls from like, you know, like they're a bit more like kind of like hip hop chicks, you know what I mean? And grime girls. And I was like, oh, and there was like grime crews. And In a way, I wanted to kind of be known. I wanted to get some rep. You know what I mean? So I was like, what can I do? Like, and I know I could rap. I knew I could battle rap as well. So I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to just start battle rapping then. So then, you know, there was battle rap competitions and I won the main rap competition or whatever it was. And I just loved it. I wanted to get myself. But, you know, it was very interesting. It was I don't know, Hoax, if you can relate to this, but for me, it was a bit of an overdose of freedom. Because I remember the first day, I was there with my boy Matt, and we were there, and he's from Feltham, and he lives down the road from me, and we were there.
You said Matt, of course he's from Feltham.
Of course he is, Matt and do you remember him? Selmo.
Yeah, of course.
My mate Selmo. Yeah, and we were there on the first day, induction day in college, and then we were like, should we go for a fag? And then the teacher heard us. She was this Iranian woman who I love, my media teacher, and she was like, you want to smoke? Just smoke. And I was like,
sick.
And we were on the campus, like right in there. Yeah. Like, we were on the premises. And then we sparked up and we were like, And then I remember we came late once because we were blazing a zoo. And then she said to us, she said, listen, she goes, boys, I'm never going to tell you to come to class ever. She goes, I'm never going to chase you. She was like, this is college now. You're becoming an adult.
Yeah.
This isn't school. People aren't going to chase you in the heath and you have to make excuses. If you don't want to come to college, trust me, no one's going to chase you.
Man,
And you get kicked out.
You'll just get kicked out. They won't even give a fuck. Like, they don't care. Yeah. And for me, the first year, I did nearly get kicked out. Very close. My parents came in, everything.
Yeah.
And that teacher saved me. Her name was Parvin, Iranian girl. And she went, nah, Asim's got a lot of talent. He just needs to fix up. And then I started doing well. But for me, like, Hoax, did you find it as well? I felt like the freedom was like, what?
Yeah,
sick. Bro, like, I can do anything.
I remember on my first day, like, I remember smoking outside the canteen and that was allowed. But I remember my friend was like, do you want to go for a zoo? And we like left out the back like normal. And then we went into like, it was like an alleyway, but then it went into like a back garden and we were just blazing a zoo. And then this man came out and was like, excuse me. And we're like, what? And he was like, you're smoking a spliff in my family household garden. And we turned around.
You're like, yeah, I'm at college.
Yeah, I'm at college, chill, man.
Freedom.
Chill. Yeah, turn around and there's like his wife's there with a baby and shit. And I was like, fucking hell, like, this is so relaxed. Like,
it's so chilled. Yeah, I remember, love college.
I had exactly the same thing, man. Like I was like you, Asim. Like, I just used to bunk loads at school when it used to be so techie and, you know what I mean, it's stress. But, like, I remember suddenly realising that it doesn't matter at college. And, like, to the point where I remember this, like, I'd turn up to, the teacher was called Stuart Pampaloni. Shout out him, man. But, like, I turned up to the class because I used to always have to blaze a zoot. Like, the last bit of my zoot had to be as I was walking through the gates, just so I was lean as I could be.
Get a good smell as well, mate.
Nice smell, yeah. And I'd walk into the class late and he'd go, oh, Mr. Mustafa, a strong marijuana scent has followed you. Take a seat. I'm like, you know, like, at school, that would never, and then be like, that. Fucking
that's what
dash
they were
you
like.
Out.
They were, no, but you know what? They were all fucking potheads as well.
Yeah, they were
all
blazed,
we were, bruv, like, I did media studies, and Hugo and all the music, they were all fucking potheads themselves.
This is music tech. These are like failed or like ex musicians or whatever.
One of my media teachers, proper jokes, bro. He used to work in porn. Like, he was a porn cameraman.
Wow.
And he would come and tell us about, and I was like, this is sick. And actually, in colleges when I excelled, in school, I left with two GCSEs. Teachers didn't give a shit. Same. Judged me, whatever. College, I did well. Yeah. I got three B's. Like, I didn't think I'd do that well in college.
Yeah,
when I went to uni,
actually.
And I did well at uni. And you just think,
I got,
man,
good marks too, and I never got good marks, ever.
Exactly, same. So I'm like, man, there's definitely a different approach that when teachers take, some people react to it differently, you know what I mean? And I loved it, man. I love college.
I got good marks because I met this little Welsh bread. Did the same course
at
a different uni. Yeah, and I gave him an 8 for Bud and he stayed up all night and done the coursework for me. Then I got into uni and didn't have a clue what I was doing and just failed, obviously.
But wait, what did you do at
music
college?
Music tech.
Oh, you did music tech? You see, that's there's a lot of theory with that as well, though, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
See, that's the thing. With my one, there was no theory. The media studies, it was just make a film.
Yeah, yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, right about now you are locked into the legendary Chat and Shit podcast, lad.
Like, I only really know about your musical side. So, like, where did you, like, so when I first met you, obviously you already had a camera and you started filming little hood videos and stuff. But before that, where did that start? Do you know what I mean? Where did you think that was even an option? Do you know what I mean?
I think maybe my dad's really was always into cameras. And my uncle, my dad's older brother, he owned an electronic shop in Teddington since like the 70s. And they always, my dad always had, like, our shed was always filled with broken TVs. And my dad used to take broken TVs, fix them and shot them on the streets, like, on Hounslow. And he used to make quite a lot of money from that, actually. I remember he used to just fix the tube, replace the tubes from cheap tubes he used to get, just sell them for like 50 quid in Hounslow Market. And he'd make a lot of money, actually. I remember my dad used to always have a big wad of cash on him wherever he went. And I remember whenever I used to be like, Dad, can I have a fiver or something like that? And then he'll go, I haven't got any money, son. Yeah. And then I'd go, but Dad, you're literally holding like £1,000 in cash. And he'd always give me the same answer. He went, this money isn't mine, son.
Yeah.
I need to pay this to someone.
Like a shotter.
Always. It's never his money. Never his money.
Yeah.
So maybe for my dad. My dad's a bit of a tech head. He used to be a tech head. He's not anymore. But like, yeah, he used to be into all that stuff. And I remember he used to film a lot. Like I've got like a lot of really good home videos of like some of my old birthdays and some events. And I remember my dad would always quite be into like the filming and the technology side. So maybe it was from that, man. But I just like films, bro. Growing up, like, it was just escapism. Like me and my sister used to just watch films, and my cousin, we used to just watch films all the time, man. And like Bollywood films as well. Like, and my nan used to always have films. I think just movies in general. My mum loves films. In my whole family, we kind of always liked.
Like a common bond between you all.
Yeah.
So when you was at college and you did media, you kind of learnt, I guess, the slightly more technical aspect, and then just got yourself a camera kind of thing.
Yeah, you kind of learn the technical side, and you learn how things work. I think that's always, you know, interesting. When you're looking at stuff, you want to know the magic trick behind it. Because it is magic. Music
did you
and film is magic.
Like, because with music at that time, I feel it was the change from like analog equipment to everything in a laptop. Was that the same with media? Like
suddenly it became more accessible.
You know what though? I think our generation is that generation that we're in a really weird, like our age, like I think mid-80s babies, we've got this unique experience of like, we remember the analog world very clearly because we grew up with it, but we also grew up in a digital world. So like we were there with the birth of internet. But now also we're super clued up about internet. So we're an interesting generation. It's the same thing, 100%. When I was doing media studies, they had the fucking analog MPC, bro, to edit.
It wasn't
Final Cut. You would be turning the reel like that, bro. Yeah. Pressing a button, crazy. Cut, turning it like that, cut.
That's like sick. Music was like that too.
Yeah, it is, but bro, you know what? The technique is the same, though. The technique doesn't even mean anything. It just sounds cool. Real, baby. Yeah, I mean, the reel keeps spinning, keeps shining. What?
Whoa. Don't sweat the technique, baby.
Don't sweat it, baby. But, you know, like that analog technique, you can still, if you learn that, then you'll be fine in any form. Because if you know how to cut up a video on an analog station, it's just about knowing how to cut things and knowing what images and sounds work together.
You
and
understand the logic of that.
It takes me back to like the MJ spinning shit. Like that's analog. Yeah. But I can edit that now on YouTube and get Final Cut and get all those. So it's just about learning how things work. It's almost like trying to decipher that the magic trick. Like, you know, because it looked like magic to me. Like listening to these songs, like listening to like Chronic and being like, fucking hell, how does Dre get that synth sound? And or like, you know, watching an MJ video and being like, how the fuck did they do that? And you know,
those moments when you're like, oh, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I'm always one of those Brits, like I get annoyed when I don't know how things work.
Sick.
Like magicians. That's why I'm not into magicians. I don't like, they piss me off.
Because
I don't like being baffled. I wanna go, no, hold on, shut the fuck. How did you do that?
Strip naked and do the trick again.
Bend over and cough when you do it.
Use this pack of cards.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Proper vibe killer, ruining the whole fun for everyone. Yeah. It's like when we go for interviews and they go to Grindr, they go, hey, Grindr, how's Decoy? Has Decoy been around much with me?
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah.
You're like, shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah.
Idiot. Or go, Grindr, I really like that rap song you did with Chabuddy G, Paracetamol, eh?
Well, that wouldn't be fucking Grindr, would it? You fucking idiot.
Or the worst is, could you do a rap for us?
Oh, God. Yeah.
So when you got your first camera in that year, you started filming, was it for like filming hood videos? That's what I know you for, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, originally? I mean, kind of. Basically what it was, right, is that I left uni and I couldn't get a job anywhere. I had a degree. Yeah, I had a film and broadcast degree. I could not get a job anywhere, bruv. Like when I'm telling you, I applied for jobs, bruv. Like I was like, I've got this. I was in the first time in my life I actually had a proper qualification. Like, you know what I mean? Even in college, that was a national diploma. It wasn't a fucking, it wasn't A-levels.
Yeah,
it was
a B-Tech national.
You can buy one of them, mate. You can buy one.
It doesn't mean fuck all, yeah? Like, even though they say it's the equivalent of 3 A-levels. They're not. It's called B-Tech national diploma. B-Tech is already a diss for lower grade.
B-Tech is a slang word for shit.
Yeah.
That's what
there's
I had.
An A-level and a B-Tech. I think I'll take the A-level. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I had had a degree and I couldn't get a job anywhere. And maybe it was, I don't know, man. Like, I think it's quite tough to get a job when you've got a foreign name, or if you go for an interview, you don't look like what they... Because, bro, you know what it's like. We worked in this industry. How long, how many Asians, blacks do you see behind the camera? No. Like, it's a fucking odd... It's very odd when you see one. Yeah. So, bro, I had no chance of getting in the industry at all. Like, I just... That's how I felt. So I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I actually got a loan from my mate, who was a shotter. Mm-hmm. I got a loan from my mate.
What's his full name?
What's his NI number?
Yeah. What's his ganja name?
What's his ganja name? he lent me that money. And he was a bit of a dodgy bastard, actually, because I remember I got this Canon, which looked like a photography camera. It was brand new. Yeah. And it was one of the first cameras, DSLRs, a photo camera that could shoot video, super high quality, like with amazing effect, like amazing quality. And everyone was baffled. Everyone was like, what the fuck? It was 2.5K. And I started doing music videos, weddings. I started doing promo. I just started working with it.
Because I remember when you showed it to us, I was like, oh, I thought you meant a fucking video camera.
No, I remember when you got it, and that day you came round to mine, you had the camera, you were with Marv, and then you were like, let's go out and shoot a video.
Yeah, we filmed that music video that everyone...
Was it Final Bam?
Yeah,
it was Final Bam.
That was like the day you had it. I swear.
That was the first day, yeah.
You can check that on YouTube, Final Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I just made my money back straight away. I paid my friend back, and he was a bit of a dick about it. He was like, hold on. He was like, 2.5K, yeah. He was like... He goes, no. He goes, I don't want the money back. He goes, I tell you what, let me give you another 5K, buy more equipment, let's set up a production company. And I was like, nah, bro. I was like, I'm not fucking working with you. Yeah. And he was pissed at me because he could see there was a bit of potential in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And obviously, I think we've already probably filmed some people just nothing stuff.
Do I know this friend?
Yeah, you kind of know him. I'm not friends with him anymore.
But
he obviously saw the opportunity in it, and he wanted to do more stuff because he saw people were liking it. And that's it. Just starts from there. Then obviously you guys, you know, came back and you watched obviously Tower Block Dream that got influenced. You went to Thailand, and then, you know what I mean, I had the camera. It was just timing.
Yeah, that's
man.
What I'm saying. It wouldn't have happened without this camera. This camera was very special to our whole story, really.
Of course, obviously, like, you know, studio time was already there. And it was like that kind of thing of like me jumping on and being like, I kind of saw it as a great mission. Like, you know, like I was like, I love it. I remember when I first saw you boys were telling me, I was like, I fucking loved it. And obviously I was obsessed with the documentary and, you know, just in general, like we were supposed to link and make songs like me and Hugo were, and we never, I think we made maybe one or two songs. Maybe. Like we never, me and Hugo used to make songs, but also never really finished them. Like we would just have too much fun fucking around.
We were just so, blazing like, and watching The Office.
That was it, man. So like, it was really like a blessed timing, like in terms of how things came together. And I loved it, man. I remember doing that first part one, No Source. I remember going back and just watching some of it and just going like, I remember just laughing my head off, man, because it felt so natural and it felt special. Like just watching it and editing
that's a good point as well. For anyone out there that doesn't know, Asim was filming and editing all of the early webisodes. And Ben would film as well, right? Ben Murray, shout out Ben Murray.
Yeah, shout out Ben.
But Asim was editing the whole thing, man. So all these skills you spoke about that you learned yourself,
they all kind of helped.
It all put into practice.
It's like putting images together and like, but also making it, even though I say this, like making it look shit. I mean, I didn't have to make it look shit. I couldn't hold the camera properly. You know? I had no idea what I was doing because it was a brand new technology. Like, it wasn't like nothing was on a tripod. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe for the talking heads, they were on a tripod.
But
like generally, like I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't learn that camera. I learned different cameras at uni. So it was a learning process. But I actually think it added to all of it because it made it look shoddy. But the thing is, the editing was where the magic was. Mm-hmm. It was like, we have all this gold. How can we now tell a story? Where do you put a talking head in? When do you cut to Steve's? Mm-hmm. When do you use your decoy shot? When do you, you know what I mean? It's just, it was like a puzzle. And I remember editing it and really being so passionate and then sending it to you boys. And I remember just like, we all got excited and we're like, okay. And then I remember we started putting them out and slowly it started getting love on Facebook first. I remember from our friends.
That's what it was for, I feel.
It was just for Facebook.
Yeah,
because YouTube, we were like, YouTube's not, you know, we put it on YouTube, but it wasn't like it would pop off on YouTube.
I think
you put
it on YouTube because it was a host of a video.
That's basically it. It's weird to upload your shit with a long quality.
And also there was we had a few hip hop videos that you'd filmed. That was on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Like, well, me and you did Paris. Above, also, Paracetamol, yeah, I want to say about this. This is how proactive Asim is, yeah? Asim calls me. Hugo was out, staying out somewhere, and Asim, you had his key, yeah?
You say
and,
proactive, I think it's just impatience.
In, yeah, yeah, or just, yeah, yeah. Manic, this is his manic creativity manic, yeah. taken, yeah.
Wait, wait, you had the key to my, to
yeah,
mine.
Yeah, Hugo, you were gone somewhere, yeah? Asim said, meet me, and you let him, you said you can use a studio.
Yeah, you gave me your key, I remember.
Yeah, sick. So I met Asim at your house. He goes, just bring a bar, we're doing a Halloween tune, innit? So like, me and Asim recorded, he goes, you pick the beat. So I picked that Lord Finesse beat. Me and Asim recorded sick. These bars. And then he goes, right, Alex and Marv are waiting for us in Shoreditch. We jumped in a cab down there and we filmed the fucking video. Like, he recorded it, gave it a quick light mix, and we just recorded the video and it was out by the next day. This is like a day before Halloween.
Yeah, that's
it was
very so Asim. Rushed.
It was so rushed that there's a typo on Wasteman Productions. Productions is a typo on it. that's just me, man. So much. But you know what, man? I fucking love Paracetamol. It was memories. It was memories and it was
I
love that.
Day,
I love that. Just
sick,
getting
sick
up
night.
And doing shit, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like just like it's just pure expression in it. Having an idea, running with it. Don't overthink anything.
Don't overthink it.
Don't take it too seriously. You're a couple of friends having fun, just spitting bars. I mean, who cares, man? Like, you know what I mean? Like, just have fun.
Well,
it
was the first ever music video I was in as well. I was gassed.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I look back and I go, yeah, of course, it's just amateur video work and all that. But man, it was a vibe, man. It was
what we had,
Brick Lane 2010, 2011.
2008, bro.
2008,
shit, yeah. I think.
Yeah, 2008, Brick Lane, Halloween. That's we had a mad. Sick night. We got high as fuck.
Yeah, it was live.
I remember you had some fucking next draw on you.
Yeah,
I can't even remember. There's a bit in the video when I'm blazing it and I have a coughing fit. And it was just like, you always had the high grade. And you even had a t-shirt that said, smoke lemon haze.
Oh my days. And that's how you know I was a real smoker.
That's when you know you're a real woodsman.
I remember when you got those t-shirts. I remember seeing it and was like, oh, that's pretty sick. What you're buying you're buying shit from non-licensed websites online. Yeah.
yeah. Explain to us about like obviously we know, but like explain the journey of where Jabadi came from, man, because there's two webisodes where Asim was filming and then suddenly on webisode 3, Asim became a part of it in front of the camera.
Yeah. You know what's so weird, bro? Like, you know, because obviously there's People Just Enough, the documentary is coming out soon. I don't know when.
Yeah.
Probably before the film, if that ever comes out.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I was looking for the hard drive for over a month, actually. I was looking for this hard drive in my flat, which had all the old Corrupt FM People Just Do Nothing footage, which is, I mean, it's fucking insane. There's so much. And actually, it was so, I spent a whole day watching them and like proper reminiscing. I was sending the boys little clips and pictures and stuff.
Amazing, man.
And actually watching back, man, we used to do a lot of rehearsal days, which it sounds quite professional of us. But when we say rehearsal, really what we're doing is just, I'm bringing the camera around to Hugo's and we're just dressing up and fucking around and just
and trying
stuff.
Different things. And, smoking.
and trying different things. Basically workshopping, if you want to call it what it is, wanky.
Yeah, yeah.
We were workshopping and there was a lot
we're wanking
of stuff
each other
in there.
Off.
Basically, we were. Yeah.
In my flat.
Yeah, we were workshopping and then like, I guess the Chabadi thing, it's such a combination. Like, I would say like the essence of it was always there when watching my dad, like talking about those TVs and stuff like that. There's a million stories like that, which weird stuff my dad would do. And I'll just be like, I used to think he was always a character, like a quirky guy. Yeah. And he used to make me laugh, you know what I mean? Like just the way he would talk, come on, man, what are you doing, man? Come on, man. He's just like this. He was like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
And everyone saw him like that as well. Just a friendly, always talking to everyone. Everyone knew him, like a proper legend around the ends. You know, just a friendly, bubbly kind of hustler.
Also,
you know, it wasn't like he was like this harmless guy. It was quite dodgy shit as well. That wasn't that cool. But you know, it was elements of that. Growing up with people like my mate Sonny, who's always like a huge inspiration for Chabadi, who's just a fucking nutcase and just one of the most unique people. And then like, you know, even like just like when Hugo used to come around when I was living in Bow, and some of the Chabadis, we'd have, like, because Hugo came up with the name Chabadi. I still don't know what it means.
Oh, yeah, I don't either. It's just something, it's a just funny thing.
It's like a funny name.
Yeah.
And you used to just say it. And the actual name came from like the Xbox kind of when we used to play Call of Duty and we'd be on talking shit to people online and we would just start doing the, I mean, it wasn't just Chabadi characters.
You know what? In my head, I feel like it might have come from Party Boy. But in my head, it's like a Mexican guy called Chapati
man.
Chapati.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but it just was funny. Like, as soon as he said it, it was funny. And then we started doing the, you know what I mean? And then, like, you know, we started
doing... Well,
that's
interesting, that, because a lot of our characters just stem from doing voices. Whether that's pranking, whether that's Xbox, whether that's just between us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, yeah. Doing voices is what the thing, isn't it? Like, even like... Mm-hmm. Even like this kind of Raj character that I love doing, it literally came from the voice, just me going, just doing that noise. And I was like, you know what I mean? Just a noise is like a monotonous noise. Be like, well, that's a character. You know what I mean? Like, like, you know, like even, I remember even when you were doing a Seep, even when you were doing, well, I mean, there's a lot of characters that people don't know about.
You mean Ran?
That you go with, that we've all done. Yeah, I mean, Ran was, I wasn't even thinking about Ran, actually. I was thinking about the old guys that you both do.
Yeah. Do you remember?
And that's got a tone to it, you know that.
Very monotone.
Yeah. It's just disgusting.
Savoy cabbage.
It's like you can feel the hot breath
on
your
neck. That came from the call center from calling so many old people, and then
that's another
I remember Seep on the phone to doing motorbike magazines, and he was on the phone, and he called up one guy and was like, "Hello, good evening to you. My name's Alan, and I'm calling from Motorbikes Monthly." And then I think we just started to visualize like this guy on the phone going, "Oh, this poor old man working in a call center."
Bro, honestly, I heard it just before. Like he took the cell because he felt for me. And then before he put the phone, I went, "Jesus Christ, the guy was really old."
But that is a sick technique, though, putting an old man. I mean, I don't think it's legal.
It's a scam.
That's why we got fired. But it's definitely very scammy. It's very it's very Chabani G, actually.
Yeah, proper.
The call
center
vibes. But yeah, no, you're 100% right, man. Voices. And that's what me and Hugo were doing that on Call of Duty and doing the, you know, doing the voice. And I guess if you think of your head, you think, how does a kind of freshy rude boy chat?
Yeah.
And it's kind of elements of Chabani. Chabani was always like, so many elements of people I grew up with, and you know, just that kind of that hustler, which can
but
be
it's
from
so
anywhere.
Regional, isn't it? It's not like
very regional. It's very regional, and it's a very Hounslow. And I like that, and I like the way that, you know, I think in the whole show we take all that stuff very seriously. We're like, nah, he would say this, that he would do this, and you know, you go around Hounslow, you see a lot of real Chabuddies, man, with the leopard skin, the fucking leather jackets, the glasses.
Oh, we've even rented places like for Chabuddy, you know, that porter cabin before. And we remember, like on there was like series one, it was literally like a group of Chabuddies in the other room watching us play out in their own porter cabin.
They looked at us, they hated us.
Yeah, they hated
it. What do you think? They're bloody taking the piss, mate.
Yeah, why is this funny?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's kind of like my dad, though. Like my dad doesn't find he doesn't think Chabuddy's a loser. Like he thinks he's like, he's bloody smart, mate. Like, you know, he's like, he's bloody wise, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But then also, like when it came to the webisode, like I said, I always wanted to be behind the camera. Of course, I had this performance element to me because I would rap and I would, I wasn't shy. It wasn't that. But I was a bit cringed. I'll be honest, I was cringed out about doing Chabuddy because I just looked like such a freshie. And like, you know, back then, I mean, it's not like we took care of our parents anyway back then. But of course, I thought, well, this is going to make it even harder to fucking ever get any chicks.
You know what I mean? Like, but that's all we cared about. I remember that. I remember that. Me and you wanted to be rappers. We was on videos you carefully craft yourself when you're on those videos. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and what do you see? You see those rappers like getting chicks. You see them like respect.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I can just speak for myself. I had none of that. You know what I mean? It was like,
and you were
I had
still
no rep,
protective
no
over
chicks. Yeah, exactly. And I thought, God, if I look like this fat freshie now, I'm never going to get any chicks. And in the back of my mind, it was that. But then, I mean,
I remember
you
said
boys
that to
like,
me. So you were like, "Bro, people ain't going to take us seriously, like doing this. Yeah. We're rappers." I mean, and then it's taking that first plunge, and then it's like, do you know what? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly, man. So once you, and it goes back to that thing of like, once you know, you realize that people really don't care as much as you care. And if anything, man, like doing this and actually taking the piss out of ourselves, man, it gave us like more attention, more good attention than we would ever probably gotten from the music. Well, I mean, I don't know that, but I'm just guessing.
It was easy. It wasn't like music is fucking hard and serious. This felt
yeah,
fresh.
Exactly.
But it's not. Yeah. It's, but just to say, it's not because it's easy to
no,
do.
No,
this,
not at
to
all.
Take away. It, but it came easy to us because we enjoyed doing it so much.
And I think it's something that none of us had overthought at all. Like, and from rap, by what you guys are saying, but it's like there's a lot of thinking behind it.
Yeah, it's like what genre of rap is this? What box does this fit in? How are people going to take this?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think at the core of our success, I think it is that just not overthinking stuff and really just like, that's why we love improv. That's why when we're on set
100.
and we feel free, like I think honestly, I mean, of course we have great writing and we spend a lot of time crafting the scripts and the characters and all that shit. I mean, it's very hard work. I'm not saying it's definitely not easy, but let's be honest. Like, I feel like our best, greatest shit comes when we're on set and we're fucking around and you just 100%. Get a bit of gold.
And that's, that's like, that's been written about. That's like a form of therapy. Basically giving and not blocking. Do you know what I mean? As in like not blocking anything that's given to you and just giving back. It's just, that's improv, innit? And that's just like basically all being in it together and you've all got each other's backs and you've got full trust.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
You feel safe and you feel like, and it's just, man, it's just being amongst people who are like you, like who think the same, who are very quick-witted, who are funny, who are intelligent, you know what I mean? Who are all those things. And, you know, when I'm with you boys, like, we know it, man. We know we got to be like, our swords have got to be sharp.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, and I listen, you know, what's the saying? Steel sharpens steel. Is that it? I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, imagine that like, you're with it. You know, like some people like to be in their group of friends and just dominate. Like, you know, like, don't like to get word in edgeways and they're the life and soul. It's like, why would you want to be that? Like, I like being in a group where some days, like, remember we used to rate ourselves, I'm on a good 7 today. I like that. Marv might be killing it.
We have man of the match as well.
Hugo Day. Sleeper might do it one day. Dan might get a man of the match one day. You know what I mean? Steve will couple up. Yeah, Dan's definitely got some man of the match.
When he said more than 10 words, he's man of the match.
Marv as well.
Yeah. Man of the match Leeds, famously.
King of the Leeds.
King of Leeds, that's it. And as Hugo always says, out of our friends, in our friends group, no one's ever safe.
No one's safe. No one's safe. Yeah, that's the beauty.
Yeah,
no one's safe, but we are all safe.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't turn up with a Japanese leather bag and think that's acceptable.
Exactly.
And no one's gonna pull you up.
What trainers are you wearing?
Or some wooden sunglasses.
I got from Berlin for 100 quid.
They don't break.
Oh, yeah,
I love it. Yeah, but no, that's what it is. It's just fun, isn't it? It's like freedom, man. It's just freedom of expression and feeling safe to like fucking express yourself, man, and just have just have a laugh.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's sick, man, and it's paid off.
Yeah, definitely. What's been like one of your most memorable moments in our shared career in for PJDN?
You know what? It's weird for me, man. I'm trying to think. Like, honestly, I can't even think of like one because
it's a blur, isn't it?
It's a blur. And when I really started, like, I just had a quick little flashback of when we were in France with that skiing trip or wherever we were.
You bought all your equipment to. Stood on the skis, nearly slipped, but didn't, and went, nah, actually, I don't want to do this.
I quit. I was at a ridiculous hangover, and I was pathetic that day.
And then this is so you as well. Then you end up just going and chilling in one of the restaurants on your own. We came back, and you're surrounded by 10 people smoking fags and drinking beers.
No. Listen, bro, I kind of forgot about that whole thing. And then I thought back about it just now. And I thought, fucking hell, that was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Fucking like just being in the snow. Was it Dizzy Rascal was there?
Yeah, man.
Like we were like chilling, man. We were going, oh my God, bro. That holiday was sick. I remember I was staying with you and Kieran, I think. See, but you lot had that. You lot bought those merguez lamb sausages with baguettes. Oh my God.
Kieran on the merguez.
We used to live, man.
I remember skiing on my own thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to just hit the slopes on my own. And then I went up a fucking black run. And the only people I saw were like Red Cross skiers. And I was like, oh, fuck's sake. I just went down it on my ass, sort of Mark from Peep Show style. I'm getting down. I'm done skiing. Fuck skiing. It's dangerous.
Yeah, skiing is fucking dangerous.
Shout out skiing, man.
I'm trying to think of the best festival experience we've ever had. I can't because it's so many.
Yeah, it's
that's,
mad.
That's
Outlook is always a
boat party. That was definitely up there. Yeah, but you know what we should do one day? We should sit down and actually do our top 10 Corrupt FM moments. Like I don't even want to talk about the filming. I want to talk about the gigs.
Because
I think they're my favorite moments. And I remember 100. You said, Seep, and you're going to bloody love this when I'm about to say this. I remember you said, like, because I would definitely moan. I would definitely whinge about doing this and going to this show and that show. Yeah. I would definitely take it for granted. And then I remember you said, boys, like, you know, one day we're not going to be doing this and you're going to really miss it. So let's really have fun. Yeah. And I know you're bloody loving it right now, aren't you?
I was right.
But you're fucking right. But you're only right because it's a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hold on. No, on round two, when we come back, I'm going to be like, see, let's have fun constantly. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I look forward to round two, man.
Oh, mate, I can't wait for round two.
I can't wait to be exhausted on that sweaty bus. Just
But you know what? Let's be honest. Like, how many years have we been gigging yet? Like, and think about our age then. Bro, that's the prime of our life.
Yeah.
Like we're in our mid-30s now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of us mid-20s got kids.
Mid-30s, we were.
We're in our mid-20s to mid-30s.
We're in our mid-20s to mid-30s.
We're
still there. And we're still there. But, bro, like, that we spent our prime gigging together and having fun and creating memories. And I'll never forget that. I honestly, Outlook maybe is up there. I mean, I do think Glastonbury as well is always ridiculous.
I didn't think that, but we spoke to Steve and he was talking about it. And in hindsight,
Glastonbury was
fucking a legendary
Hugo, you don't think anything's sick when you're there.
No, I do, man. I do.
No, but it's like, you know, when you guys are like, when you just come off stage and obviously like with the live shows, like you boys are carrying it because you've got a fucking MC and this is a lot of people who think that you guys are just going on there fucking around. Trust me, like, it's hard work, man.
It's a workout, like, man.
It's a fucking, I mean, physically, but also just for your brain to actually figure out. And I know that obviously it starts becoming like muscle.
The best
memory,
shows are when you
while,
don't
but...
think and it all just
yeah, 100%.
And I'm saying that where I do 20% of the lyrics.
Sometimes I'll look at you, come on, I can't think of anything.
Yeah, no, sometimes you'll go so hard for like 15 minutes straight and I'm like, this is sick, he's killing it. Yeah. I'm filling the
gaps. You're
kind
of watching.
Well. I'm prompting maybe a few bars and then then you look at me and go, I'm all out. And I'm like, and it's the end of the bar. It's like the end. And I'm like, okay, I can't think of anything. And I just go,
you know what though?
Hey.
Both you boys are overly hard on yourselves. I don't know how many times we've come off stage, and you know that feeling. You know that feeling when you've just finished we've just done our final song and we're coming off stage and I can always see you two boys just having a little chat and you're always so hard on yourselves. And
even though we're
and I'm like, bruv, were you lot on the same stage as I was? I was, bro, and obviously I'm probably licked off my
you're
face
battered
as well.
By that point.
No, but I mean, bro, it's a vibe, man. And you've got to remember everyone else is battered too.
Yeah,
and
of
we're
course.
Having God, bruv, you know what? What would I would give? What, I don't know what I'd give right now to be on stage.
I'd give anything to go to arrive at a festival, have that guy, you know, I'm talking about in a green room, just battering off our drink and get ready to go on stage.
Like,
I'd give anything, man. You know those little butterflies you get before you go on. Because I always, because obviously Steve goes on first, but I always get that initial thing because I have to go on and be like. Wherever we are,
that's
Manchester!
A lot.
No, but I don't really feel the nerves, weirdly enough, because
leopard print shirt.
No, but you know what? Honestly,
because we always use you as a gauge to like, do they know who we are?
Yeah, true.
If they start cheering, we're like, oh, thank fuck for that.
No, but you know what? I go on. I don't know why. I don't always have that much pressure because obviously I do my little Chibuddy song where obviously it's a good and I fucked it up loads of times. But there's not pressure. The pressure is on you boys. You're actually performing. Like obviously we still need to bring energy and hype, and it's still, don't get me wrong, it's still a job. Of course,
the worst is when you can't make it and we have to go on before someone like Stormzy and we don't know what the crowd's like and we come out and it's like they're basically chanting, "We want Stormzy." Wicked.
Oh my god, man.
But you know what? So some gigs we've been to, I remember, and this is why probably Glastonbury, the first one, was so special. It's because I remember at that Shangri-La spot, not many people knew who we were.
We
went on to Shangri-La. Like, we probably had a couple of hundred people who knew who we were. But by the end of it, bruv, we had that whole crowd.
We had
that whole crowd, bruv. And that is one of the best moments.
Yeah.
Arthur
Shelby. That might be top one for me, actually, man. Shangri-La, Glastonbury.
Yeah, man.
If you were there, you would know.
DJ
Tofu, that was a vibe, man. That was a vibe.
And so, like, coming off, like, obviously, PJDN, What have been some of your proudest moments outside of that? Like, you know, doing PJDN, you got a lot of opportunities off the back of that, man.
Yeah, of course, bro.
And how did it feel as well, like, the first time you had to step out of that?
Bro, it's scary, man, because like you said, bro, like, we as brothers, like, we, you know what I mean, we feel safe with each other.
Yeah, we're protected in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, we're protected. But, you know, like, I've always been that kind of guy, like, you know, I take risks, man. I'm a risk taker when creatively. So I go out there and I might fail, and I have failed many, many times. Even in this industry, I've done some stinkers. I've done some stuff. Probably I've not looked back and I go, why did I do that? But man, I learned from them. I did them. I played tiny little roles. I did little extra, you know, degrading roles. I put the work in, basically. And like, it's scary, bruv. Like, it's definitely, and you know, I don't think, I've worked with some very, very funny people outside of, you know, people just nothing and all that. But like, it's not the same when you're with your friends, it's different. But you know what's different? I see that as more of a job. Like, I feel like I need to be more professional when I'm working with, like, say, someone like a Stephen Merchant.
Yeah.
Who you still, obviously, he's very friendly and you can be, like, you know, the humor is the same and all that. But it's still like, man, this is more professional. Like, I need to make sure I hit my marks, learn my lines. Yeah. Because this guy's, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to, like, you know.
That must have been crazy because, like, I don't care. I'll say it, obviously, you know, it's obvious we're massive Office fans. You know what I mean?
Of course, man.
And Stephen being, like, the brains behind that, you know, along with Ricky. It's just such a 360 full circle thing. Do you know what I mean? It's so surreal for us, the fact that you did that, a two-hander with Stephen Merchant. Crazy.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy. That, and I would probably say that is probably my proudest moment, man. Mm-hmm. I think probably, you know, a lot of times I had to pinch myself, and the fact that, you know, man, like, just listening to him and learning of him, man, like, we're learning the way his mind will just work, man. Mm-hmm. Being in the writing rooms with him and watching him improv and watching the way he did stuff, and some of the advice that, you know, he gave me some of the best advice about, which I think I told you boys about, you know, when we were, the American remake was happening, and we were at that stage where we were like, oh, how much do we get involved? Like, you know, that kind of thing. And then he told me, he was like, look, obviously he's got the best American remake of all time, you know, with the US Office, nothing's going to really beat that from a British to American remake.
Sure.
And he said, listen, he goes, let them do their thing. He goes, if it's a flop, then everyone will go, well, you know, you shouldn't mess with genius, you know? And then he said, if it's a success, then everyone will go, well, of course it came from genius. And he also said one of the sickest things that he was like, I got him to do like a little video for my Insta. And he was like, very excited to be working with Asim. And, you know, he goes, out of all the Office ripoffs, People Just Do Nothing is one of the better ones.
One of the better ones. That was real, like, full circle shit, man. And when you got him on your podcast as well, you know, the podcast he did two episodes of.
Yeah.
But, like, that was amazing for me to listen to because, you know, you obviously already had a relationship as well. It wasn't just like interviewing someone. And when you said, you know, it's no, you know, we don't hide the fact that we obviously ripped off the Office. And then he goes, all right, we've got him running.
We've got a confession.
He's finally admitted it.
Big up Stephen Merchant. He's a legend.
And so what does the future hold, man? I know you've got loads of projects. You probably can't speak about a lot of them, but you're heavy on the Twitch at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm actually really loving Twitch, man. Like, I just, it's just like a sick platform, man. I mean, I know I bang on about it all the time, but it's like I was saying this to you, Steve, the other day. It's like having your own TV station.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, you have a camera, you have your chat on one side, then you can bring up anything you want on screen. And it's so interactive. You can, like, chat to people. You could, you know, it's the future, man. Honestly, it's the way of interacting and building a community without it being really, like, just face value, like Insta, where it's just like a picture.
Yeah,
and it's one button.
But that's what I love about your beat battles, man. If anyone hasn't locked in, is it every Sunday at 9 or 8 p.m.?
Well, yeah, let's not say every Sunday because I probably would have quit by now.
By the time this comes out, right? You can watch them all back.
Yeah, I don't
anyway.
Do that anymore.
But yeah, man, like, the beat battles you've been doing is sick because it's proper. Do you know what? It reminds me of back in the day, man. It reminds me of all of us, like, making beats, sending beats to each other and that. And also the fact that it's just so community, innit? Like, it's like your fans, but they kind of become it just becomes normalized, the fact you're just chatting with them, and it's just like a little community, innit?
You know what's interesting? And this is probably weird. And this is probably not like most Twitch, but basically I'm on Twitch. Yeah? And even though I'm promoting it, but I don't want to get loads of followers. Like, I want it right now. Like, I have 3,000 followers right now on Twitch.
Show off.
And, you know, obviously that's nothing compared to, no, but, you know, I mean, in a way it's quite hard to get, but I quite like keeping it at that level because it's very manageable. Like, I basically know every single person in my chat right now.
Yeah.
I know, I actually chat to them, and they're not weirdos. They're actually sick people. Like, they're producers, they're artists. And like, I just feel like Insta and all these other platforms, like, yeah, they're all good. It's for promotion and all that kind of stuff. But it becomes so overwhelming that you lose that personal touch. I think your fans can sense it sometimes when they, I mean, a fan will message you, and sometimes you might not see it, man, because it's in your other inbox. You know, I don't check all of them. It's ridiculous to check all of them. Know what I mean? So I kind of like the fact that it's quite intimate, Twitch. And of course, the curse is like, if it gets bigger, then it will become like the other platforms. And that's kind of what I don't want. Yeah. But I'm enjoying it, man, right now. And
it's, because even
for lockdown, it's perfect, man.
I've even, I was a guest host on it once. So I got to see like all the little comments.
And then every time one of us
jumps on or whatever, I'll just be there watching in the comments or whatever. And even just after a few times, I feel like I know the different personalities that are in there and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So, it's proper cool.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Yeah, it's great. I mean, if anyone doesn't know what it is, give it a try, man. I mean, obviously I stream, but I watch it now. Bro, I'm watching more Twitch than YouTube these days. Like, YouTube used to be my go-to, like, you know, just put something on the background. Now it's like Twitch, bro. And it's just, it's weird. I really do like it, man. And it's
it's a lot of fun. Too.
And that's Twitch.
And that's Twitch, which is
like and subscribe. It,
which is, Twitch has sponsored this podcast.
yeah, innit? Give us that Twitch money.
The sandwich. What's your favorite sandwich?
We've come to the part of the show that I think I pretty much know you're here
We're
for.
We're coming together.
And I've actually given it a little bit of a remix. Not even like a... You can still get the original track, but you're going to get a featuring. All right? So,
okay,
you know what it is. It's what's your favorite sandwich?
That is a tough one. What I will say, okay,
top three.
Okay, top three. Okay, right. We'll start off number three. I would say a very. This has to be high level though. Yeah, a very very high level tuna melt. Very high level.
Interesting.
Like the best tuna.
Popular choice.
Well, we've had a few of them.
Yeah. Tuna melt. Yeah. This is number three. Yeah, it has to be high level. I want a bit of lime in there. I want red onions. I want good quality mayo. I want good quality, like I want Bajan hot sauce, like the one we had in Barbados. Remember
that yellow, the little mustardy one,
the yellow one, baby. I think it was called Country Boy, and I still haven't been able to find it since we've come from Barbados. I need that. If anyone's got the plug for that Country Boy Bajan sauce, I need that. That I would say that would be number three.
Holla.
Number two, I would go with a lovely banh mi from that Hackney spot.
But you know what? That was in my top three as well, bro.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, the catfish or the chicken, either one, or even just the omelette.
Catfish, bang it.
Definitely, that's my number two. And then number one is a bit of a... Okay, so it's a thing that my nan makes, and it's called Shami Kebab, okay?
Oof.
Do you know about this?
Nah.
Okay, so obviously it's Pakistani, but the origin is Syrian, Middle
Eastern.
It's
not like chapli.
Yeah, it's kind of like chapli.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's my nan's recipe, and it is Pakistani, like proper. It's amazing. It's like spicy, big garlic, minty, and she basically makes it. And she used to, I remember when she used to like, she looked after me for a while when I was a kid, and I used to live in Ealing with her, and she used to make them for me, packed lunch, right? So you can have them hot, but what she would do is put them in the sandwich.
Sick.
And it would be cold, and she would spread them out. And then, like, you know, a bit of lettuce, a bit of, you know, tomato ketchup. Oh, my days. That's my all-time favorite. Number one. Fucking hell, that shit's beautiful. The Shami Kebab sandwich.
Yeah, that sounds fire.
Yeah, sounds fire.
Yeah.
And it's got the nostalgia element as well.
Yeah,
definitely, man.
Sick, bro. And then the last bit, this is the bit that everyone listens out for, I think. It's ask us three questions each. The three questions.
Three questions each, yeah?
Yeah.
It can be the same question for both of us.
All right. Yeah. If you could work with one artist, dead or alive, who would it be?
What, music?
Yeah. Like in any capacity as well. Like it could be a Corrupt FM one. It could be, you know, sincerely proper your own music. Any way, in any shape.
I know who I'd choose.
Go on.
I'd choose Kanye. God. Just because the process seems fascinating.
You and Kanye would actually, I'm not trying to gas you up, but that would be sick. Imagine that. You and Kanye would make banger, but it's true, man.
I think he'd make a bang with anyone.
I'd like to see you and Pharrell, because I feel like if I was to, you know, like, I feel like that's one of your biggest inspirations, isn't it? Like, I remember when I first met you, you were like, you know, you were like NERD'd out, man. Like, that was your shit.
Yeah, yeah. Pharrell would be amazing, but I feel like Pharrell, he doesn't really collaborate on like production stuff.
Unless it's Chad, yeah. Unless it's man like Chad.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, even in your dreams, there's like a little bit of a realism there. Yeah. Bringing it down.
Yeah. He doesn't collab
there. I feel like I'd make something sick with Kanye. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, that's a sick show. What about you, Alan?
Do you know what? I proper can't think yet, but I'm going to say I'd do a double album with Raekwon. Oh, be his double act guy.
Oh yeah,
and do that all slang based back to back on 90s RZA beats.
Yeah, sick. Just not even rapping, just skits.
Yeah, just me and him skits. Doing skits the whole way
in key.
Yeah. Me just going
you have to be in the same vocal booth at the same time.
What if he was like, look, I want to make like a Spanish music album, but I want you on all the skits.
Yeah,
I'd be like, yeah. What sort of Spanish? What sort of
are you talking about?
European, Spanish, South American? What are we doing? Okay. Yeah, okay. No, but accent wise, what are we doing? Cuban, Colombian.
What if he wanted you to
be? Don't say Madrid. I want it to be South American. Come on.
Because I want it to be like European Spanish, and I'm like,
oh, great.
Cuban,
okay, so I've got to say a TH instead of a T. Okay, cool.
All right, there's a sick choices. All right, the second question. If you, Desert Island, you could only bring one outfit. Ooh. So I'm talking either hat, jacket, you know what I mean, and trainers, one outfit only, and don't worry about weather. The weather's not relevant about anything.
That might be the best question we've ever had.
Oof. Well, it's just, I was just thinking that's a, you know, desert island vibes, but for drip. So the drippy desert island.
Okay,
what's your drip?
The Driznip. Yeah. Fuck, man, damn, that's a tough that one, boy. Tough. I'm going with the one that looks like I got a pink blood, looks like pink blood splattered kind of stony jacket.
Oh yeah, that one's
sick. Has it got to be built off of stuff we have already?
It has to be your own drip. Yeah.
I've got that, yeah. And I might pair that with some sort of maybe just like one of my classic old Palace caps with a P on it. Yeah. Like a black one. And then the classic 95s, the 110s, the ones with the neon green, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got the Gunsmoke ones with pink, yeah? With like the pink on it. So that's what I do with the jacket. Hit me.
Yeah, and then, matchy, cuzzy.
And then maybe like a
snappy,
little...
Snappy, snappy, cuzzy.
Like snap. Just a little light Levi jean, you get me? Or something.
Little
get me? And a Lurkers t-shirt. You get me? You know what I mean? That's my classic look, man. Something
but
that,
that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about...
Little chain, few rings and that.
Okay, that's nice. I like that. What about you, Francis?
I've got some grey Stone Island trousers. Knickers. Just simple. Yeah.
Cozy, comfy.
Yeah. Stone Island knickers.
Lingerie. Lingerie.
I got like this. It's a cream Stone Island knitted, but it's all white. You know, they have the Shadow Project.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the other one, the Ghost
this
one.
This is the all white one.
Ghost
Project.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Nice
little
Ghost Project jumper on.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This is fucking hard.
Hair transplant and then just have no cap.
no cap. Turkish mission and Stussy 95s.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Very
nice.
That's trippy.
That'll do. I can't go for it anymore. I can't do jacket.
All right. Last question. This one's sick. Okay. This is. I've always wanted to ask people this. All right. Let's say, for example, say right now. World breaking news, worldwide breaking news, and it said that there's a hit out on you. Okay, anyone who kills you, right, gets £1 billion. Okay, the whole world knows this. The whole world knows. They put your picture up, and they give you 1 hour to hide, to do what you need to do to get away. If you survive 24 hours, you get the £1 billion.
Okay,
all right. And that's it. What would you do? You've got 1 hour. Where would you go? How would you survive 24 hours? Everyone in the world knows that you've got £1 billion on your head.
Okay, I've got it. I'll get about 50 recyclable metal straws, take them together, go down to Epping Forest, dig sort of a 20-foot grave, bury myself. I'll get someone to help me because I'll tell them Get a loved one to help me because I'll promise I'll split the I'll split the money with them.
Okay, yeah. Okay, would you trust them?
So over them taking 10 billion or whatever, and they can have 5 billion, and I'm still alive. Come on, that's a good deal.
Yeah,
they'll do that.
It's an easy job.
And then just put a few little leaves over the tip of the straw that's poking out the soil so no one can see it. And I'm laughing. I'm lying down there. I've got a podcast on. I've got a portable charger. And I've got my top three sandwiches with me.
And a nice pink Stone Island jacket on, keeping you warm.
Yeah. And the thing is, you'll get a metal detector because all that shit's made of nylon, isn't it? And they'll bloody find you because he's got the stony.
Joke's on them because I'll be completely naked.
All right, nice. Yeah, I reckon that's pretty sick, actually. And you could do that in an hour as well. That's not unrealistic.
Yeah.
That's not unrealistic that you could do that in an hour because... go on, Hugo, what would you say?
I'll change the metal straws to wooden straws as well for the detector.
So, oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's... Yeah, there's a forest near me. I'll probably just go into the forest, massive, and hide out.
So, like, see
in all camo.
You're just going to be standing in a forest.
Oh, no, I'll have all the shit. I'll have all the sniper shit. I've got it all in my garage in front of me.
What sniper shit? You're going to kill everyone before they get to you?
No, I'm just going to wear, them. You know, the camo shit that the snipers wear, lying face down in the grass.
All right.
Oh, great. And I've dug a fucking hole. Yeah, I should have just done that.
You're naked.
You know what I would do? And obviously, I've thought about this before because I've thought, you know, this is my question.
Yeah, because it's your question.
It's cheating a bit. What I would do is I would just put a hoodie on, right, for an hour. Or actually, I'll just find some clothes in some homeless bin or something. And I'll sit on the street. I'll put my hoodie up and I'll just put a little cup there and I'll just pretend to be homeless for 24 hours. That could work in central London somewhere really busy.
I'd rather bury myself alive.
I'd be proper. It would be an anxious 24 hours just waiting to see if you get nabbed.
It'd be an ordeal and a half.
Yeah.
All right, sick. Well, that's a strong question to end on, man.
Yeah.
Last question we ask all our guests. But I mean, we already know the answer to this. But Asim Chowdhury, are you still our best friend?
Yes, of course. Of course, guys.
Thank you.
Corrupt FM for life.
Come on.
Hassan, mate. Lovely to see you.
Lovely, Hassan.
Nice one, brother. Big ups, man. Thank you, sir.
Safe, brother.
Good, man. Thanks for having me, man.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
And there you had it. Man like young Asim Chowdhury.
Hassan.
Yeah. Man like Ask Jaff.
Yeah. Hassan Hussein, baby.
Man like Pura Para. Yeah.
Pura 1080.
Boy. Yeah, he's our boy, not yours, but you can borrow him for a bit.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. At a price.
Huh? Probably not.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking to pimp him out if you're not paying.
Yeah. DM. Send the DMs in.
Now, shout out Asim, obviously. That's family right there. I mean, you've obviously, if you listen to this podcast, you know where to check him out. People Just Do Nothing.
Yeah.
Netflix. Yeah. Yeah. Are we a Netflix series? Yeah, sort of.
Chowdhury.com.
Yeah, exactly. Chowdhury.com to check out all his portfolio. But check him out on Bandersnatch, Black Mirror.
Loads of stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Greed.
The Ben Wheatley film. Was it Happy New Year? Colin Bursted, I think it's called. Should have done the research. Yep. He's our mate. We don't need to. Yeah.
No, also, just go on IMDb and download Pirate Bay.
One thing we didn't talk about is that he is going to be in the new Sandman Netflix series, which is a massive power move. So congratulations to Asim for that, man.
Yes, watch out for that. Done.
All right.
Yeah.
Ooh, jealous.
Ooh, big homie Sandman is making a series about the rapper.
Jealous. Why are you jealous? You're getting all weird about it.
Because I want to be in it. I want to be Sandman.
Well, I'll call Asim. We'll put you in. We'll pop you
good.
In.
All right. Nice. Yeah. Someone. Right. Okay.
See you later, baby boy.
Bye.
Hey, yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up? I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
Nah, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Magendie.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout out all the posse down at ACAS Laboratory. Hip-hop, am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.
We'll be right back. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.